Would you turn, please, to 1 John chapter 5 and verse 16. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 16. When we look at these kind of portions of Scripture, I think it's appropriate that I let you know that when I look at difficult passages of Scripture, I don't think that I'm the only one in the world that has an insight into the Word of God. So, therefore, if I believe something says a certain thing, I look at what a lot of other scholars have said about it to check to see if the things that they say make sense, or if I miss something somewhere along the line. And I did that with this portion of Scripture too. I read many, and I found some who they say, well, you know, death in verse 16 doesn't mean physical death, because life in verse 16 doesn't mean physical life. Well, you know, if you read it, it looks like it means physical life. It looks like it means physical death. And then perhaps one of the down through the years greatly respected men in the area of Greek and such, he just said, well, I don't completely understand this. Well, I think he forgot something. So I'm going to look at it tonight, and I think it will become clear to you the meaning of it. Let's pray. Father, we come before you now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we pray that as we look at the Word of God, that I might be able to make these things clear, that we put all of our faith and trust on exactly what the Word of God says and believe it, and then, Lord, to make the proper application to our own lives. And we pray, Lord, that if there is somebody here that's not saved, or under the sound of my voice that's not saved, that they might realize they need the Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 John 5:16. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. So the Word of God says there is a sin unto death. It also speaks here of a brother. And so this can't be a spiritual death such as eternity in hell, because it talks about a brother sin. There is a sin unto death. And when you read this, of course, it raises some questions. Namely, you know, what is that sin? And then you would think, well, who is it that commits the sin? And, you know, why don't we pray for it? You know, it's always good to look at the context when you get into a portion of Scripture that might seem a little bit unusual to you. The context, of course, the preceding verses. And they are powerful statements about prayer. Look at verse 14. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. This is teaching us a certain amount of confidence that we can have. And this is for the saved person who prays. And it says if we ask something according to His will, that He hears us. And it's certainly something that we, as God's people, want to know. If we're praying to the Lord, we want to know that He hears us. It says if we ask according to His will, He hears us. You know, much of our prayer could be our own misguided will that's not even close to God's will, and we wonder why we didn't get any answer to it. Well, that may be the reason why we didn't get the answer we were looking for. And then notice as we get to verse 15, and if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. Now, this is a powerful promise. You know, do we forget this promise when nothing seems to happen? We do. We can forget this promise. But notice it says we have the petition. So if we're praying in His will, He's hearing us, and we have those petitions if we're praying in His will. Now, this powerful promise that says we can have these petitions, which are very important to us, we want to know that praying in the will of God, that the Lord hears us and will give us the answer to these things. And this powerful promise leads to verse 16. And it extends to a situation that we're concerned about. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask. The previous verses said that if we're praying according to the will of God, that He'll hear us and give us the petitions. Now it says, if you see a brother, someone saved, that would be, you know, in a local church, and sinning a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. So it says, a brother sin. Now, if I could just touch this for a moment. This is a present participle, which means it's a continuing kind of a thing. It's not that a sin was seen on, you know, Wednesday the 5th, and that was it. No, when it says brother sin, that is present participle, which means that they're in sin, what we would call in sin. So let's take these words for what they are. A brother, a saved brother. This is not like the verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 where it says if somebody is called a brother. In that, you could see that there could be somebody in the local church called a brother, that the Lord is allowing the possibility that they're called a brother. They may not be a brother because they may not be saved. You act a certain way toward them because they are called a brother, whether they're saved or not. This one says a brother. You see a brother. It's a saved brother. Now, what should be obvious here is there is a sin of a serious nature. It is so serious, it could lead to death. But the fact that death is mentioned, and the sinning brother can be given life, shows that it's serious. You could possibly see a brother, or it could be, of course, this would cover a sister in the Lord, fall away, live in sin. You know, the most obvious thing would be living in sin with another person. And the Bible says, you know, they're dead while they're living, you know. But they're living in sin. If you see a brother, sin the sin. Somebody's living in sin. You can pray for them. Now, what I'm about to say is significant. The Bible says you can effectively pray for them. And this ought to give us a lot of confidence. Verse 15, look at it again. And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. Now I say this is significant because so many times we may pray, and let's say, let's remember how that last spring we prayed for money for our Christian school. And when we, you know, the Lord answered that prayer and we saw the money come in over and above what we prayed for. And we rejoice in that and we say, you know, that was from the Lord. We prayed for it. The Lord gave us that. And, you know, we believe the Lord can do that. And we've seen the Lord do that. And we believe the Lord can do that. But for people who sin, see, it seems like they never stop. See, we can lack confidence that our prayer for those people who sin might ever see an answer. But the Word of God says, if we know that He hears, verse 15, whatsoever, yes, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. You can pray for this, and God will give them life. Not eternal life, because they'd already possessed it as a brother. Or not to die in their sin. Now, with all that background, the Holy Ghost states then, in verse 16, there is a sin unto death. And there's a very interesting comment that God gives to us after He says there is a sin unto death. He says, I do not say that he shall pray for it. Why do you suppose we do not pray for this? Now, let me give you some suggestions here. Number one, this mind-seizing statement is contrasted with the one above, that there is a sin not unto death. But that one, you see. You observe it. You observe it. You know, most of the time, if someone was living in sin, in fornication with another person, they were living in sin, they were living together, they set up housekeeping together, that would be very observable, wouldn't it, that they were living in sin. And I suppose it's very possible that a brother could do that. Now, that one, you see, it's not stated that that is a sin unto death. It can be seen, but it's stated that is not particularly a sin unto death. Now, keep this in your mind, because, you know, so many of God's people might think, what could be worse than for a Christian to be living in sin with another person? Say, what could be worse than that? But the Bible says, you know, they're sinning a sin not unto death. That's not necessarily unto death, but there is a sin unto death. And so it's going to be very interesting looking at this from God's viewpoint as He sees someone who may be what we would call living in sin, in fornication, is not a sin unto death. It'll be interesting to see then what is the sin unto death compared with this. Now, the next thing I want you to notice about this, He says, I do not say that he shall pray for it. This tells me that the Lord Himself is going to deal with this matter. We can't even know enough about it to pray. I do not say that he shall pray for it. We can't know enough about it. To pray for it, the Lord must deal with it Himself. Now, we have now given some answer to why don't we pray for it? Why don't we pray for it? We don't know that much about it. That's why we don't pray for it. Now, what is the sin? This passage does not tell us what the sin is. But the sin has already been revealed in a previous passage, a passage that we read publicly quite a bit. And that is, and turn with me now to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, when we read about the Lord's Supper. We many times read this verse, 1 Corinthians 11:30. First Corinthians 11:30 says, for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. And this is clear. There is a sin that brings weak, sickly sleep. It comes to the point where they died. Sleep, died. Now, the average Christian thinks that this is simply partaking of the Lord's Supper unworthily. That's what the average Christian usually thinks about this. Some even think that they will fool the Lord and not partake of the Lord's Supper at all. but they missed the most important. They have missed the exact nature of the sin unto death. All right, let's suppose faithful Frank thinks, I just can't stand manipulating Milton. And I know that I'm going to hate him as much the day after the Lord's Supper as I do now. So I just will partake. And then I won't get the condemnation of verses 27 to 29. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Therefore, he thinks he can fool God and get away with hatred as long as he doesn't partake of the Lord's Supper. But what faithful Frank is doing is raking the leaves under his dying tree. He's not putting the axe to the root of the tree. He thinks the visible partaking of the Lord's Supper is what counts. But I want you to look at what God says is the root of the problem. It's in verse 31. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. If we should judge ourselves, the key is whether we judge ourselves. So this is the sin unto death. Let's look at it again, verse 30 and 31. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep, for if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Now, how is this tied in with the Lord's Supper? Well, number one, it can be easily concluded from Scripture that saved people regularly partake of the Lord's Supper. I believe the assumption is here that saved people partake of the Lord's Supper. You know why I say it that way? Because there are people, you know, who don't care they ever have ever showed up for the Lord's Supper that claim to be saved. But if you just look at the Word of God, it's just assumed that people partake of the Lord's Supper. And the reason it is assumed is because we get this from the institution of the Lord's Supper on the night that Jesus was betrayed. And we then trace the Lord's Supper and we see that it was the mark of saved people in Acts chapter 2. And that was first observed every day. And then it was observed once a week. And verse 26 says, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. So the Word of God shows that it's done often. It's assumed that God's people would partake of the Lord's Supper often. And another way we know it's tied in with the Lord's Supper is based on this passage. It is a special time to examine ourselves. Verse 28, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. You know, we should always be examining ourselves. We should always be examining ourselves so that we do, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We should always be examining ourselves and confessing our sin. But the Lord's Supper has a heightened emphasis. Maybe because you have the visible emblems, you know, of the bread and of the cup, and you hold them in your hand. And now, because of that, it has a special meaning through you. And this is a time when you're ready to partake of the Lord's Supper in remembrance of the Lord, when you either see your sin in front of your eyes and confess it. Now, isn't that the case? Isn't that the case? I know it's the case, and I bow my head. Now, I might have prepared my heart because I'm preaching that night, but I bow my head for the Lord's Supper to thank the Lord. I believe that's the time the Spirit of God comes into your mind and heart and brings some sin into your mind right then. Boom! And what do? You need to confess that sin right then and there. You judge yourself. And you say, you know, Lord, I've sinned. Forgive me before you partake of the Lord's Supper. So when you are taking those emblems, you either see your sin in front of your eyes and you confess it, or you've hardened your heart to not confess it. That's bad, right? That's bad. We know that's bad, and we can tell from these verses that's not good. But here is the sin unto death. The sin unto death is you do not make a proper judicial decision. You just go on as if there is no sin at all. Verse 31, for if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. So therefore, there were those who did not judge themselves, the previous verse said, and many sleep. There were many that did not judge themselves. So here we have faithful Frank, and he has judged himself that he has this hate sin for manipulating Milton. And he's kind of seeking to skirt God's judgment by not partaking. But the person who's in the most danger of being weak or sickly or the sleep of death is Puffy Percival. For he has no problem at all with his hatred. He doesn't even consider it hatred. You see, he is outraged concerning a brother in Christ, and his outrage, he just thinks he's entitled to that outrage because of his spiritual superiority. And so there's nothing wrong with his outrage. That person is so bad, they deserve that outrage. Do you think this is a stretch? No, it's not. This whole book is dealing with this problem. 1 Corinthians is dealing with this problem. Go back to chapter 5 and verse 2. And ye are puffed up, and have not rather mourned that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. You see, they thought they were spiritual giants even while there was this disgusting sin going on within the members of the local church. He says, you're puffed up. You should have been mourning, but you're going around and you're so proud of yourself. You're so proud of how spiritual you are. You should have been mourning. And then he gets to chapter 11, you see, and he says, if you judge yourself, you won't be judged. They weren't judging themselves. They accepted that they were just about the best there were. And get this. By the time this letter has reached this church in Corinth, some of them had already died. Some of them had already done the sin unto death and they died. They had not judged themselves and they had died. Well, that's what it says, doesn't it? Right back at verse 30. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Many! There were many in that church that had not judged themselves. They're walking about as if they were spiritual giants. And you would suspect it would have been some of the spiritual leaders who should have dealt with this. Spiritual leaders should have dealt with the sin that was in the church, and they didn't. But they're rather puffed up. Please focus on this. you'll learn something about the Lord. The sin unto death is not the horrible act of the immoral incest mentioned in verse 1 of chapter 5. For he will be restored, we find out in 2 Corinthians, while others died for the spiritual pride of not judging themselves. Does that strike you as maybe a little bit odd? You know, it shouldn't. Because remember the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ and how there were those who were talking about Jesus, you know, and how he reached out to harlots and publicans. But who was condemned? The spiritual leaders that had the pride. Same exact thing here. The man who commits incest is restored. Those who did not judge themselves, an act you can't see so much, were weak, sickly, and died. And the cause is clear. Not examining self, not judging self. Now, we have seen why we don't pray for it, and we now know even better why we don't pray for it. Number one, we don't know enough about the person's heart. We don't know about anybody else's heart but our own. We can't pray about them doing the sin unto death because we don't know what's in their heart. And the other reason we don't pray for it is God knows how to handle the person on a long time basis. God knows how to handle that person. We don't. We also know what the sin is. And we know that it's not judging ourselves. We know who commits the sin. It's the proud Percival, no doubt so focused on other sins they do not see their own and deal with them. Now, another question could be posed. Do we see God dealing with this in our time? You know, I believe that may be partially answered by the phrase in the end of verse, well, we won't go back there, but in 1 John 5, when it says at the end of the verse, I do not say that he should pray for it. You see, being with sin is a heart problem in which we cannot see into another brother. We need to be warned that it could happen to us. But we can't particularly know if it's happening to another brother. You know, I've given some thought to people who have died before their time. My best friend growing up, I have a picture of him in his Air Force Academy uniform staring down at me as I write these sermons. We had quite a relationship. He was almost 3 years older than me. He was a great hero at Tenafly High School, a football player with incredible speed, and because of that, he was the best in the what in those days we called the 440, the quarter mile. He was the best in the tri-state area, meaning New Jersey, Pennsylvania, New York, and nobody could beat him. He just had one of these tremendous personalities that everybody loved, and the girls really loved him because having a wonderful personality and being as handsome as he was, they did fall all over him. Yet, because he came from an unsaved family, he looked to me for spiritual guidance. And as he went on in the Air Force Academy, and you know, he just was one of these people that at that age, you know, fame always fell all around him, no matter what he did. And you know, his life started to just lean toward compromise. And eventually, he married this lost woman. The reason he married the lost woman, I mean, when he was dating her, he talked to me a little bit about the situation. And, you know, the lost woman was the daughter of a colonel. And, you know, he said, you know, the way that you advance up the ranks in the Air Force is not all on merit, you know. And so he didn't mind going to the dances and dancing with the colonel's wife and dating the colonel's daughter until he finally married her. And as an aside, his father told me that, you know, he was miserable. Well, you know, he died in Vietnam heroically at the age of 29. And we could say, you know, he died before his time. But was he an example of the sin unto death? No. We just cannot know whether he judged himself or whether he didn't judge himself. You know, that person who just keeps on doing a lot of sins, and maybe sins they've been warned about, and they keep doing them as if they're nothing, they're not sin. They don't judge themselves. You can't tell. I don't know. At one point, he told me he believed the Lord would have him to be an evangelist. But you know, he wasn't headed in that direction. He was not headed in that direction. The Lord took him. Was it for not judging himself? I don't really know. He died for his country. Can we say that a Christian who goes to battle for his country and dies for his country could have fallen into this kind of category? You'd probably lean towards saying no, because he died for his country. You don't know. Is that all there is to it? You know, I think of another wonderful friend who served here with zeal, sincerity, I would say without guile, dedication. And when his wife left him and then eventually divorced him, even though he protested, I said to him, don't pursue a certain course because it sets a wrong example for those you're ministering to. So don't pursue that course. And you know what? He disobeyed. As wonderful a friend and a servant as he was, that course was more important than obeying his pastor. And you know, one could say he died long before his time. Was this the sin unto death? Well, you know, disobeying a pastor is not the sin unto death. It's not good, but it's not the sin unto death. But if a person justified themselves and in disobedience would not judge themselves, and they're in puppy pride to see themselves as spiritual and the pastor as sinfully motivated, it could be that sin. We can't know because we don't know his heart. I also asked myself the question, I had to throw this in. You know, we're in serious ground here. But what if he had done James chapter 5? Would you turn here? What if he had done James chapter 5? Verse 14 and 15. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. What if he would have done this when he was stricken? What if he would have called? And I would have gone there and said, I'm going to pray for you. And he would have said, you know what? I know that I sinned when you told me not to do a certain thing. I went ahead and did it. May God have raised him up. You know, these verses indicate that possibility, don't they? Verse 14, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Now, having said all this, there's another important consideration. There have been wonderful servants that we would consider died before their time. I think of Philip Bliss. Philip Bliss. Ethan led one of his songs tonight. I did not select that. Jesus Loves Even Me, written by Philip Bliss. And perhaps the best known song that he wrote the music for, the song we all love so much, It Is Well With My Soul. He wrote the music. And he wrote many, many other songs. He was a talented hymn writer, Philip Bliss. And you know, he was traveling somewhere, and the train went off the trestle, and everything exploded into a fire, and he was thrown loose of the train. And then he looked for his wife. He went back into the fiery car looking for his wife, and neither one of them got out, and he died at 38 years old. One would not think that he had committed the sin unto death. And I think of the five missionaries in 1956. They sought to bring the gospel to the Orca Indians in South America, and they were all slain, young men. Young men. I don't know, maybe in the late 20s, early 30s at the most. Serving the Lord. They died young. You know, if they die before their time, they may be the greatest of spiritual heroes. Or someone in an affliction like Fanny Crosby, you know, and the Lord greatly uses them in spite of their affliction. But as it could be observed, a sin not unto death, there could be those not willing in self-judgment, yet observed that something was not right in their life. And they do commit the sin unto death, not judging themselves. You know, I heard of a gathering of evil gossipers. A man was in attendance not long after he died. Did he die before his time? Did he receive gossip and not judge himself? And the Lord mercifully took him before he heaped sin upon sin? We really don't know. But let's go back now to James, Peter, John, 1 John 5, and read this one more time. Verse 16, if any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. there is a sin unto death, I do not say that he shall pray for it. We really can't know. That's why that phrase is, I do not say that he shall pray for it. I mean, there's most everything we can pray for. We can't pray for that, because we really don't know. You know, I think of a man who followed his brother out of our church. It seemed to me he didn't live as long as he could have. He was a good guy. Could he fall into this category? And yet there are some good servants of the Lord that die young. I gave the example not too many weeks ago of Dan Bubar, who was hit by a truck in Budapest. But when there are some who obviously are falling away, if they do not judge themselves, they could die before their time. Why do I say that? Because the Bible says that. The Bible doesn't say, you know, that this would fade away like tongues shall cease. It says there is a sin unto death. I mean, many of us wondered about the man that took his own life. You know, here was somebody who was obviously so messed up spiritually, he couldn't bear to be in the hand of God. Whatever the condition, he couldn't bear to be in the hand of God. Took his life in his own hands. I have to wonder, had he taken a course of faith and obedience and submission years before, would his life have been so much better than how miserable it must have been? I mean, you'd have to be to consider taking your own life. You've got to be at some terrible low end. We read the verse this morning, you know, if you would see a good life and have good days, you know. That's what the Lord's will is for us, not that we're so miserably depressed that we're ready to take our own life. Verse 16, if any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death, I do not say that he shall pray for it. I think we can see that this is serious. This is a serious truth. You know what? I look back and I think of the problems in the past. And I'll tell you, I examine myself. Say, could I have done better? I judge myself. Do you? I'll tell you, I have the fear of God. And the fear of God, He is in control. Well, when we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are not incredibly conscious that Almighty God controls everything about us, you don't have the fear of God. And you're thinking on your own. You don't have the fear of God. I'll tell you, I have the fear of God. The judgment seat of Christ. I think of the judgment seat of Christ, and I'll tell you. You know, when you think of the judgment seat of Christ, you're thinking right about yourself. You're thinking, oh boy, all the things that I didn't do or didn't do right before God. I judge myself. Do you? We can't know what's in others' hearts. We can't know. But we can know our own hearts. And that's what the Lord expects from us. To judge yourselves. And your life depends on it. If you don't judge yourself, you can die before your time. Not a hero of the faith called away young, but a castaway with the sin unto death. And the only one you know for sure that commits the sin unto death, the only one that you can know that will commit the sin unto death is you. For not judging yourself. That's the only one you can know. That's why we're not praying for people whether they commit the sin unto death, because we don't know. It's in the hand of God. He takes care of it. But we know the warning. But we better take it seriously. Because, you know, even though I don't know whether I ever heard this preached on, and, you know, maybe somebody touched on, I never heard it preached on, I never heard it explained in my whole life. Here I am, 66 years old, never heard it preached on. Of course, I've been preaching for 30 years, so there's a lot of people I didn't hear during those 30 years. Mostly heard myself. But, you know, it's there. It's there at the end of 1 John, there's a sin unto death. And it's there and read week after week when we partake of the Lord's Supper. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Isn't it amazing that in a verse that we could consider week after week with the Lord's Supper, we could pass over? Christians can get real great at passing over certain things. But there it is, as bold can be. If we'll judge ourselves, we shall not be judged. I hope that's sufficient warning to all of us. Let's bow for prayer. So our heads are bowed. If you're a child of God, you've heard the Word of God preached. Would you let the preaching of the Word of God sink into your heart and judge yourself based on the preaching of the Word of God? It's one of the reasons for the preaching of the Word of God, is so that you'll judge yourself. So that you'll hear the Word of God, get under conviction from what you heard, and judge yourself. And if you hear the Word of God and you won't judge yourself, you know how that might end up. If you believe God says what He means and means what He says, would you do that, child of God? And for a person to be saved, they got to judge themselves that they're a sinner, they're lost, and they're bound for hell. For a saved person, they need to judge themselves and their sin and confess it to the Lord. Seek to obey and walk with Him. Would you do that in this quiet moment? Someone say, "Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'd like to be saved today." Would you raise your hand and let me know? I'm not sure I'm saved. I'd like to be saved today. Father in heaven, I pray for all God's people that they might submit to the Word of God in truth. And Lord, if somebody needs to be saved, I pray they'll come in Jesus' name. Amen.